Well, tomorrow, a series of legal experts and climate advocates will gather at the Hawaii State Capitol to discuss the latest effort to address climate change. Cities and states around the country are suing big oil companies over physical damage related to climate change. Ann Carlson is one of the speakers at tomorrow's event. She's a professor of environmental law and works pro bono for the plaintiffs in some of these cases. She spoke with HPR's Ryan Finnerty earlier today.
I think there are two reasons there's been a rise in lawsuits related to climate change. One is that the federal government has withdrawn from the Paris Agreement and has rolled back regulations that the previous administration had proposed and had implemented to cut greenhouse gas emissions. And so the lack of federal policy, I think, is making advocates turn to other jurisdictions, states, courts, et cetera, to try to do something about the problem. But I think the other reason is that a number of lawsuits have been filed by cities that are alleging that oil companies are causing climate change and creating damages already. So we're already seeing sea level rise, beach erosion, increase in hurricane intensity, increase in wildfires, droughts, et cetera. And those are turning out to be enormously expensive problems in addition to being dangerous to public health and, you know, problematic for all sorts of reasons. They're really expensive, and municipalities don't have the resources to try to fortify their seashore, if they're coastal communities, to protect against skyrocketing temperatures, to protect elderly people by providing cooling centers, to battle wildfires, to pay for all the damages from wildfires, droughts, et cetera. And so they're looking to try to figure out who should pay. And I think the answer to who should pay for many municipalities is the companies that caused the problem.
And so what exactly are these lawsuits alleging? Who did what and who was harmed?
So a series of cities around the country and one state, the state of Rhode Island, have filed cases under what's known as public nuisance doctrine against the major oil companies that extract and then refine products that contain lots of carbon, so principally oil. And the idea is that these companies have been selling a product that emits greenhouse gas emissions and doing so in ways that harm municipalities and their residents. So again, through sea level rise, which is inundating many coastal communities around the country, including places like Imperial Beach in Southern California, which is the poorest beach community in California and is now a plaintiff in one of these lawsuits. They are contributing to wildfires. The California wildfires, of course, of 2019 set records for damages and led to huge numbers of deaths, people inundated by fires who couldn't get out of their homes, droughts, long-term droughts, increasing hurricane intensity, et cetera. And so the cities and the state of Rhode Island are seeking damages for harms that are already occurring as a result of climate change from, again, those companies that have caused a big percentage of the problem.
And why have they chosen the extractors of fossil fuels rather than a power plant or a manufacturer of cars, which produce a lot of emissions, or even the operator of a vehicle that produces emissions? Why ExxonMobil?
Well, I think the reason that Exxon and Chevron and other big oil companies have been sued by the plaintiffs is because they extract so much of the product, the ultimate products that end up emitting greenhouse gases, so that you can trace a huge percentage of greenhouse gases over the past 30 or 50 years to really a handful of oil companies around the world. 28 companies that have ties to the United States are responsible for something like a quarter of all greenhouse gas emissions emitted in the last 30 years.
What's the outlook for these lawsuits and this legal strategy? Because I believe there were some suits in years past that weren't successful.
Yes, there was a round of nuisance cases filed during the early 2000s, and all of them were dismissed before they even got to what's called the discovery stage, where you could go seek evidence against the defendant for various reasons having to do with complicated jurisdictional and constitutional questions. Most of those cases were filed in federal court, and this new round of cases has been filed in state court. And there are really, I think, three reasons why these cases are actually stronger than the first round. The first reason is, as we've already discussed, they're against these big extractors of fossil fuels. And so a big percentage of greenhouse gas emissions are connected to the harms that the plaintiffs are seeking damages for. And that's relevant for legal purposes. So you need to, for public nuisance, you need to show that there's a substantial interference with a public harm. And in this case, there is a substantial interference if the plaintiffs succeed in showing that the defendants caused the harm, because a lot of the greenhouse gases that have been emitted by these defendants. But there are a couple of other reasons. Over the past 10 years or so, scientists have gotten significantly better at determining whether particular extreme events like hurricanes, sea level rise, droughts, heat waves, et cetera, are caused by increasing greenhouse gas emissions. We call this attribution evidence. So the best example is that scientists now know and can show that there is a linear relationship between increasing greenhouse gases and increasing sea level rise. There's basically a one-to-one relationship. The more greenhouse gas emissions you put in the atmosphere, the higher or the larger amount of sea level rise we're going to experience. And sea level rise is causing lots of harm to coastal communities, as you know, water surge onto streets and erode beaches and all sorts of things. So that's another reason. And then the third reason is that there is new evidence that defendant oil companies knew about climate change as long ago as the 1950s. And there were lots of meetings, there were reports prepared by the American Petroleum Institute demonstrating that climate change was on the horizon and was going to be a huge problem and was caused by the emissions of greenhouse gases from the burning of fossil fuels. And then the oil companies did two things. The first thing they did is that they funded campaigns to try to persuade the American public and other publics that climate change was not occurring. At the same time, they spent their own resources protecting their own assets against the climate change effects that they knew were going to occur. So, for example, Exxon paid to raise its oil platforms in the North Sea to protect against storm surges that would be increased as a result of climate change. So at the same time, the oil companies were funding this campaign of disinformation to the American public. They knew climate change was occurring, and they were spending their own money to protect their own assets against the very harms of climate change that they were denying.
So what are these lawsuits seeking? Is it simply restitution for damages and funds to be able to make fortifications of existing infrastructure in the future? Or are they seeking some sort of long-term change in the behavior of these large extractors?
These lawsuits are focused on the damages that are occurring and will continue to occur. They're not focused on getting oil companies to change their operations going forward. That's the subject of some legislation, some state legislation, some other lawsuits. But the nuisance cases themselves are really focused on the harms that municipalities and states are experiencing and will experience from climate change.
And when could we expect to see some sort of result or decision in the courts on these cases?
So these lawsuits are slow, and a number of them have been filed and are right now embroiled in a bunch of really technical, wonky legal questions about procedure and jurisdiction. Assuming they go forward, then the next step will be that the municipalities that have sued can engage in what's called discovery. So they can go take depositions of major executives and oil companies about what they knew and when they knew it, about the damages that oil companies themselves have predicted will occur, about the kinds of disinformation that the oil companies engaged in, and so forth. And that will be a long process, probably a 2-year process before we ever get to a trial. But I would guess, you know, at the earliest, we might have a trial in a nuisance case 2 years from now.
All right. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens then. Anne, thanks for joining us today.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Ann Carlson is professor of environmental law at UCLA and co-director of the Emmett Institute on Climate Change and the Environment. She and other experts will be speaking tomorrow from 11:30 to 4:30 in room 325 at the State Capitol.